Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Good evening, everybody. Jesus, we bless you tonight. We thank you because you are faithful. We bless you for the privilege of hosting your presence even on this campus. We thank you for the leadership. We thank you for the Christian community. We thank you for your grace. No man is able to do this except you. Lord, we bow our hearts this evening with genuine humility and gratitude. Lord, I pray that among these that are listening to me, let there be men and women that you will find worthy to carry your presence, your power, your glory tonight. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that those to be saved tonight. That those to be healed tonight. That those to be delivered tonight. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will strengthen the body of believers within this campus. And at large, you will bless each and every one who is domiciled within this area. In Jesus' name I pray. Now I'd like you to pray. I've prayed for you. You pray for yourself in 1 minute. Lord, visit me. Let your attention be to God this evening. Lord Jesus, give me a visitation. You have planned this meeting. Give me a visitation that will change my life, that will turn my life around. Are we praying? Whether you have a seat or you are standing, just make sure you are praying. The most important thing is that you are connected to God. Make sure you are praying. Father, give me a visitation. I have come to invest my time in your presence. Let it be worth it. Change me, build me, empower me. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God bless you. I see so many people even to the back. May the Lord bless you. It's my joy to be at your campus. In Jesus' name. Please sit down if you can. Hallelujah. I want to start by getting a truly, truly honorable God and Father, your chaplain, Dr. Tosin. May God bless you. We've met only for a few minutes, but is truly an amazing man. I honor you, sir. God bless you. Alongside everyone here, I may not know you personally, but I honor you. May the Lord bless you. In Jesus' name. I want you to lend me your attention for a few minutes as we establish some things this evening. I know that it may not be very convenient because of the sun, but just pay that price so that God will build you in the name of Jesus. Psalm 50, verse 5. Psalm 50, I'll be discussing a few things with us, and then we will pray. How many believe in prayer here? Let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'll read it. It says, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me. Sacrifice. Am I doing something wrong? Okay, maybe you just help me. The season. Thank you. Gather unto me my saints, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Tonight I'm teaching, and then we'll pray on The covenant of sacrifice. The covenant of sacrifice. Help us, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Please don't let the devil distract you. I want you to just concentrate and listen very carefully to the things that I'll be teaching, because I believe that it will bless our lives. When Apostle Paul began to teach, he taught us that the love of God, listen carefully, that the love of God has dimensions. And the apostle began to teach us that there is length of the love of God. Are we together? That there is the breadth, the height. And so he said that his prayer for the church is that we came to a point where we would know the length, the height of the love of God. And the Bible teaches us that love has dimensions. Everyone say after me, love has dimensions. Say it one more time. Love has dimensions. And I just want us to examine just one of these dimensions in my teaching tonight. That means that if I say I love Abraham. Okay, thank you. Probably maybe the battery. I think you may want to change the battery. Praise the Lord. Apologies for the sound. I'm sure they are doing something about it. Are we still together? Praise the Lord. Let me have... Okay, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Let me have any gentleman, just anybody, just come. I want to use you for an illustration. It's not impartation. It's an illustration. Hallelujah. Now, listen. If I told this gentleman that I love you, in the mind of God, I have set four things. And these are the four dimensions that must be captured in our idea of love. That the first dimension that is captured in love is called passion. Everybody say passion. Shout it one more time. Say passion. That means when I say I love you, it means I am passionate about you. I am passionate towards you. Is that true? There is no genuine love without passion attached to it. Number two, the second dimension of love is called commitment. Everybody say commitment. Shout it again. Say commitment. That means if I say I love you, it means I am committed towards you. Is that true? I'm committed towards you, and I'm committed towards whatever it is that you represent. The third dimension is called pleasure. Everybody say pleasure. When I say I love you, it means I find pleasure in your person, and that I also exist to give you pleasure. There must be that exchange of pleasure. Are we together? Let's review the dimensions now. The first I said is what? Passion. Intelligent people. Second, commitment. The third, pleasure. The last dimension that must be captured when I say I love you is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Say sacrifice. Lasso is quiet because I said sacrifice. Shout sacrifice. Are we together now? So you see the dimensions. The first dimension is passion. The second dimension is commitment. The third dimension is pleasure. And then the fourth dimension, sacrifice. Now, if all these dimensions are not captured in your definition of love, then you do not have love. You cannot have love just defined by passion alone. You cannot have love just defined by commitment alone. You cannot have love just defined by, what's the third? Pleasure alone. You cannot have love just defined by sacrifice. These four dimensions complete God's idea of love. Are we together? I think someone is already blessed just knowing this. So the next time someone says, I love you, you say, let me explain to you what you just said. Which of them? Do you mean you have pleasure in me, or you are willing to be committed, or you are willing to sacrifice so much for me?
But then in all these dimensions, it so happens that the hardest of them, listen very carefully, which is the noblest of them, is sacrifice. Are we together? Yes. So if I say I love this gentleman, that means among the various indices that will be used to gauge the validity of my love is my ability to sacrifice. Is that true? You can know that I love him genuinely by the degree of inconvenience and constraint I am willing to go through for his sake. If you're with me, say amen. It's easy to see my passion towards him because I can be motivated by something that I think will benefit me. Of all these three, none of them would really cost you. The one that will have to pay a price without getting anything back in return is sacrifice. So I love this brother, meaning I have passion towards him. I am committed towards him and whatever it is that he represents. Are we together? Number three, that I find pleasure in him, and I also am willing to invest my life and my time to give him pleasure. But then the fourth, which is the highest and the noblest dimension, if you would pick one trait, one index of these four that captures love at its best, is sacrifice. Are we together? So the apex, the zenith of your communication of love is not pleasure. It's not even commitment. It's not passion. It's sacrifice. Are we together now? So if you say you love me and you say you love someone else, all I need to do is to look at what you have laid down or what you are willing to lay down. Are we together? To validate the love that you have. If I claim I love this gentleman and he tells me, sir, I am hungry and all I have is 100 naira. Now my love is about to be tested. Is that true? Because giving him my 100 naira means that I do not have anything. If I have 10,000 and I need to give him 100,000, it's not a sacrifice. It's just an act of benevolence. But now I have my all 100 naira. And what he needs is that all 100 naira. And now I'm in a straight betwixt to move selfishly and leave him or constrain myself to prove to him my love is genuine. Is God speaking to us now? And then I bring out that 100 naira, sometimes with tears in my eyes. But I tell him, I'm doing this because I love you. I have an option to refuse. It's my choice to back away from you. But so as to validate the fact that my love is not fake, here it is. The Bible says, greater love hath no man. That means the highest dimension of the kind and the quality of love a man can show on earth is that he lays down his life for his friend. So when Jesus became a man, the man Jesus, he demonstrated his love not just by multiplying loaves and bread and fish, not just by walking on water, not just by healing the sick and raising the dead. All of those things were wonderful indices showing his love and his power. But the zenith of his show of love to man was when that 33-year-old man, who is God himself, hung naked and said, I will not just give you some, I will give you everything. And when he gave his life, it was proof. Are we together now? And the Bible says here, Psalm 50 verse 5 reveals to us that a sacrifice is a covenant. Thank you. You're discussing covenants here. And we're not just talking of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and the New Covenant. I am showing you another dimension of covenant, that a man can enter a covenant through sacrifice. That there is a way you can lay down your life for a man that it becomes as though you are indebted through covenant. Listen to this. How many of you love your mothers? You love your fathers too, but let's just talk about mothers for some reason. Are we together? Now, how many of you under God will be willing to do all you can to make sure your mothers are happy? Did they ever request that you take care of them? It may not be for many of us, but because of the sacrifice, every time they paid a price to make you better from birth till death, it was a covenant that was tying you. And right now, subconsciously, you are tied. You cannot sit down with money in your pocket and watch your mother cry. That sacrifice she went through has become a covenant that mandates you to do something. No matter how born again or not you are, you will never see someone you truly love who has laid down so much and let the person go. Sacrifice is a covenant. So the Bible says, call a solemn assembly, like you have well done. Gather unto me my saints, he says. They that have made a covenant with me, not by bulls and animals, but by reason of their sacrifice. He says they have made a covenant. A covenant that mandates me to visit them. A covenant that mandates me to lift them. Every time a man makes a sacrifice in the earth realm, is a covenant that compels a dimension of God to show up. Everybody says sacrifice. So when you say you love me, and when you say you love God, he doesn't just ask you the songs that you can sing about him. When you say you love God, and he says, Lord, I love you with all my heart, then he says, show me the many things that you have laid down and are willing to lay down on account of your supposed love for me. Unfortunately, if you do not have any, then you do not love him. There are many believers, and I'm glad that this is a coming together of several denominations, several people. So I'm speaking to the body of Christ within this fair. That it's not enough to just verbalize that we love God. It's not enough to just sing that we love him. It's not enough to just preach and write books and hold programs that propose our love for God. It's not even enough to just serve as a proof that we love him. I'm teaching you tonight that the highest proof of your love for God is sacrifice. There is nothing valuable that is cheap. The birth of anything valuable is painful. And if you claim that you love God and that you love him genuinely, then I'm going to walk you through in this teaching. It's like a system of vetting to help you know whether or not you genuinely love God. There are many believers, just because we cry when we are in the presence of God, we think that our emotions necessarily translate to our love. Not so. Judas kissed Jesus. A kiss that is supposed to be a sign of love was a signal of betrayal. So just because there is a motion of love around the church does not mean that you love him. Are we together? Amen. Once upon a time, this celebrity just showed up close to the Jordan where John was baptizing. And John looks at this handsome young man and says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. No one had seen his potential. And then the Bible says that when John was baptized, the heavens opened. Listen carefully. And then he saw the Spirit come in the form of a dove. And a voice spoke from heaven. This is my beloved Son, he said, in whom I am well pleased. And he said, hear ye him. The Bible declares that Jesus departed for a period of 40 days praying. And then he returned, having overcome Satan in his temptation. The Bible says that he returned in the power of the Spirit. And when you read, the Bible says his fame went abroad immediately. Became a celebrity in experience. What manner of man is this? Who is this man that is suddenly shaking a territory? You heard the news too. He just healed the sick. While you are busy reminiscing on that, you hear that he had raised the dead. And then you hear that this man seemed to be an invincible celebrity. So when he called certain disciples, follow me, it was obvious that they would be able to lay everything. Who will not want to follow someone when there are obvious results? Notice that many of these disciples that later became the disciples of Jesus were John's disciples. Remember, it was part of the basis of John's offense that someone had come to steal the show, and everybody, I mean, this man intimidated all and sundry, the scribes, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the religious leaders, every other sect was under threat because this one person came and was shaking everything, defying status quo. And so they began to follow him. Watch this now. They became the central members of his cabinet, and his influence began to grow day and night, miracle upon miracle. The entire discussion of the entire Roman Empire was this strange Nazarene, Jesus. The disciples began to leverage on the influence that the ministry of Jesus was bringing, to a point that they now started an argument, because the potentials they saw in Jesus was the kind of potential that met the messianic prophecy about the restoration of the nation of Israel. So they were already predicting that the way Jesus was going, one day he will conquer Caesar and truly he will become that king of the Jews. So they started positioning themselves strategically. Some were using their mothers like a political manifesto. Remember, the Bible revealed one of it. Are we Bible students here? The mother of James and John came to lobby. You know, women can talk. My son Jesus, the way you are going to be great, let me secure a seat for my children first. Would you grant that when you are done and you finish rubbishing Caesar, grant that they sit by your left and right? And Jesus looked at her. The motives of their hearts, the object of their pursuit. We see passion, we see commitment, we see pleasure, but sacrifice is about to be tested. Are we together? Now remember that Peter was a fisherman, and remember that Peter was married. Are we together now? Weeks became months. Months became a year and 2 years, and the frustration and the disappointment in the disciples started becoming palpable. It was clear that only one person was shining. It was clear that the future they once envisaged was now becoming blurry, and they started asking very serious questions. Master, they said, we have left all. We are not hiding it again. We were discussing it before, but now it's paining us, because the last time we wanted to shine with you in a crusade ground, you went up a mount of transfiguration, and we thought it was an opportunity to shine. And an epileptic patient embarrassed us so bad. It looks like you are just using us and you are enjoying yourself while we are there, and our celebrity dream is drying up. So we have left all. Tell us what we have to enjoy now. And Jesus said, that's it. That's it. Finally. They started asking questions like, who is the greatest? Jesus, after you, who is it? So that we can start telling the people that, in case if you ever came around and Jesus was not there. And everybody was eyeing that position, not just Peter. Their motives were now being revealed because their expectations seemed to be delayed. Listen carefully. Then in John chapter 14, don't turn there, you just listen to me. Jesus now begins to surprise them. And here's what he says. He says, let not your heart be troubled. Because at that point, their faces were gloomy. They were angry. It was clear that when Jesus told them, all right, let's go for this crusade, they would drag themselves in anger, because this thing was not paying. You would see their zeal and passion towards Jesus, and and you would say, my God, Jesus had found the best people. Even John, who was a prophet, who baptized and ordained Jesus, became offended. The same John that said that I may decrease, that he may increase, was now behind bars, and it looked like Jesus left him, and he sent some of his loyal disciples, go and ask him, are you the Messiah, or should we expect another? And Jesus knew what the problem was, and he performed a few miracles and said, go and tell John what you saw. The blind see, the deaf hear. Are we together? He said, blessed is he that is not offended. And then in John 14, Jesus begins to speak to them, and he says, let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1, he says, ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then he begins to encourage them, for in my Father's house there are many rooms. It was a sigh of hope. So there is something coming. Many rooms. That means there's space for me. I go to prepare a place. Jesus shocks them by talking of living. The moment they heard that, they said, go where now? Where are you going? We have caused trouble in Rome. We've looked for the trouble of Herod and Caesar. Everybody, you have put us in jeopardy. You are not going anywhere. You would think that they are not wanting him to go was a sign of love. No, it was anger. Where are you going? So that we will now tell, no, you are not going anywhere. It wasn't compassion. It was anger. And then he began to tell them, it is expedient for you that I go, he said. For if I do not go, the Comforter will not come. Quite honestly, they were not interested in anything he was saying. Who is that Comforter? Jesus, was this the plan from the beginning? To use us and go and say some Comforter from somewhere is coming? They started getting angry. Jesus started confusing them again. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, no man who lives this and that for my sake and the kingdom, but he will receive in this life. And they were encouraged. What am we going to receive? 100-fold with persecutions. No. This I reject that statement. You leave all the rest and stop there. Jesus, who are you? You have been changing these days. You are not the Jesus we knew again. Are you backsliding? What's going on? I'm just giving you a graphic picture that these guys were not laughing again. It was becoming a serious matter. Jesus would tell them, excuse me, and then he would be alone. And they said, this man will run truly. Let's be close to him now and make sure we stop him. Are we together now? And then Jesus is at table with them. They never knew it was the Last Supper. Jesus began to talk to them about several things. Broke the bread and gave them. Took of the cup and gave them. And he assured them that it was this and that of the New Testament. And when they took everything, the Bible says he went straight to Gethsemane. Listen carefully. He's about to demonstrate his love for creation now. And Jesus prays again and again until his tears were like drops of blood. The disciples didn't care. And then when he was done, he said the hour had come. Judas leads a delegation of people. And remember, that was not the first time they were trying to assault Jesus. Once upon a time, he was on a cliff and they wanted to assault him. He just walked through them. So the disciples were expecting that celebrity Jesus, invincible Jesus, will rubbish those people right there. And so they came to Jesus and held Jesus, and Jesus gives himself to them. Listen carefully. Their hopes, their dreams, their ministry ambition, their prosperity ambition was just jeopardized in a second. The man I placed my entire trust, I left fishing. I kept giving my wife explanations. Let's just manage for 3 years and watch what happens. It's like an investment. Why would I go back to tell my wife? Remember, they warned me. This man you are following will embarrass you. Now it looked like their prophecies had been self-fulfilling. Watch this. As soon as Jesus handed himself over to the Roman soldiers, talk to me, what did they do? The Bible says they all ran. They ran away. Once upon a time, Jesus was washing their feet, if you remember. And Peter said, no, you are too, I respect you too much. I can't let you wash my feet. And Jesus was just looking at Peter and was seeing the agenda. Supposed service, supposed commitment. But that was not the ultimate test of love. As soon as Jesus was bound, the Bible says all of them ran to a point where it was cold and they were trying to warm themselves, and a little girl looks at Peter, remembers the crusade she attended, and that Peter was part of this. I can't be wrong. Are you not Peter? Peter said, me no. What are you saying? That guy said, no, you are this a wrong person. Your voice, I'm not the one. Don't I know myself that I'm not the one? He denied Jesus 3 times, like Jesus said he would do. Now, please think with me. I've gone round and round with your mind to arrive here. That in 3 years of supposed loyalty, everything died down within 72 hours. I will be with you forever. I will love you forever. They stuck to Jesus like Ruth did Naomi. Except for the fact that when the time came for the last dimension of love to be tested, they didn't run away when passion was needed. They didn't run away when commitment was needed. They didn't run away when pleasure came. But when sacrifice came, they all fled. Only John the Beloved and the mother of Jesus. Look up. Where were the 5,000 people that Jesus fed when he was carrying that cross and crying? Remember how grateful they were when he fed them. Remember, they were going to make him king the next day. They were ready for a riot. But he said, no, it's not because you love me, it's because you ate bread yesterday. Whoever can give you bread without paying tax is a good person. Make sure you make him your leader, they said. And Jesus said, no, your heart is not right. Not one person passed that test. The same Jesus is standing right now, and a once criminal, Barabbas, who had threatened the entire neighborhood, they said, compared to him, release the criminal. When we kill Jesus, we can rearrest Barabbas, but for now, Barabbas is better than this man. And Jesus looked at the people he gave bread to. He looked at the people who helped as ushers in his crusade. He looked at people, the women who received. Where was the widow at Nain when Jesus was on his way to the cross? A woman who lost her husband and her only son, and Jesus raised her back. You would think that her commitment and her sacrifice would be for him. But within 3 days, the motif of everyone was revealed. Where was the Samaritan woman that he helped? Where was the woman with the issue of blood that he helped? Where was the centurion whose son he brought back to life? Think about it. Gather unto me my saints, they that have made a covenant with me, not by singing, not by preaching, not by doing ministry. Listen carefully. Not just by prayer, not just by reading the Bible, by sacrifice. Jesus is on his way going, and everybody is shouting, crucify him. And he's looking at them. Yes, I ate your bread. Crucify him. Let his blood be upon our children. And Jesus looked at them. Pilate said, I've not found this man guilty. Say, Pilate, don't try us. Don't, we have been eyeing you. Don't try us. Do what we want and crucify this man. They put that crown of thorn upon his head and began to drag. Your once upon a time object of celebration that will become a king. He was beaten and battered. Listen very carefully. And whilst he was on his way to Golgotha holding that cross, the Bible declares that only a few women were just walking with him. No one except John the Beloved and his mother Mary, not one of those people who were with him, they ate with him, they slept within the same area, and yet they had run away from Jesus. He offered his hands, and while they nailed him at the cross, he had an option. I hope you know, when Pilate was questioning him, he said, "I hear you are a king," and he kept quiet. "Do you not speak? What kind of king is this?" Kings were bold people, they were warriors. But who is this weak king who cannot speak? "Don't you know I have the power to save you?" And Jesus said, "Ah, you've gone too far. No. No man can have power over me except it is given to you." He said, "I have the power to lay it down and the power to pick it up. My death is a choice. I'm proving a point to the people that I created, that I can love you and love you this much." I hope you know that Jesus was hung on the cross naked. The covering you see around him in films is just for social reasons, because there are all kinds of age ranges that we watch. But that man was hung on that cross. Your once upon a time healer, your once upon a time deliverer, your once upon a time multiplier of bread and fish, your once upon a time crowd gatherer, Jesus was on that cross. You would think it was weakness. Imagine the joy that was in hell. Imagine the joy that was around the entire span of Rome. This is the most scary part of all I've said. Life died. Resurrection died. Truth died. It doesn't make sense. How could you say you were the way, the truth, the life, and now you die? So truth can die. So life can die. I thought life only lives. And God is showing us that it's possible for life to die. It's possible for truth to die. It's possible for resurrection to die. And Jesus died. The Bible says he gave up the ghost, gave up his spirit. The creator of the ends of the earth died. You tapped him and he could not wake up. So what power did you use to raise the dead? Now you are dead. Jesus went to hell, and all the rest is history. Listen carefully. When he resurrected in power and glory. And John chapter 21 starts. Peter is frustrated because Jesus had died. And here's what he told the disciples. "Let me not do 2-0. I go a fishing." And the disciple, "Let me just return back to what I was doing. At least there's still hope." And the disciples say, "We are going with you." So while they were fishing, they caught nothing. Suddenly he sees a man ashore, and he says, "Little children, have you any catch?" Ah, I love Jesus. They said, "No." And then he says, "Cast your net to the right side." They casted their net to the right side, and all of a sudden there was a great catch. They had to beckon on their partners to help them. And Peter, discerning that no man can do this kind of, this looks like the miracle only God can do. He's alive again. Death died, but death is alive. Watch this. Peter looks at Jesus, and in a moment, his script is marked, and he knows he failed. He passed the passion test. He passed the commitment test. He passed the pleasure test. But just in 72 hours, he failed the sacrifice test. The Bible says, he said, "Depart from me. I'm a sinner. I've disappointed you. You trusted me so much. For 3 years, you shared your heart with me. And just in 72 hours, I lied about you. I lied against you. I'm not worthy to receive any miracle. Go, leave me with my life and my failure. And Jesus said, let me teach you something. Lasso, this is my message now. Listen. 21 and verse 15. Peter, come and sit with me, Jesus. I want to teach you a lesson. And then Jesus asked Peter a question that he's asking you tonight. He said, Simon Peter, Peter, but Jonah, the son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? Now notice, he never said, lovest thou me more than these. If you want to know what the these are, you'd have to go to Matthew chapter 6 from verse 30. For the Gentiles run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows. So there are things that the Gentiles run after. And he's asking Peter, you claim to love me, but just because I disappeared and I showed like I was weak for 3 days, everything about me irritated you. Lovest thou me more than this? And then Peter was perplexed and he said, yeah, Lord, you know. He asked him again, Peter, I'm asking you the second time, lovest thou me more than this? And the third time he asked him, Peter was now getting offended. Lord, I know I did all of that, but give me a chance again. Lovest thou me more than this? It's a question that every believer must ask. I know you love God, but more than what? It's not enough to say I love you until you show the things. Listen, let me tell you. Every time you say love, I love you, that's not enough. It says, show me the things you claim to love me above. This is my phone. Let's assume, or let me use something really cheap. This is a handkerchief. Let's assume I traveled all the way from Kaduna State and I bought you this. This may just be 100 naira, so I don't know how much it is. But the value is in the sacrifice that is attached to it. If I told you that I bought this, oh, it was going to fall in the plane, I made sure it didn't fall. I give you all kinds of stories around it. If I give you, will you easily give someone like that? All of a sudden, the sacrifice added the price. It's no longer 100 naira material. It's priceless because of the story and the sacrifice behind it. So the Bible meticulously takes time to tell us all that went through in the life of Jesus for our sake, so that we will see how much he loves us. The Bible says, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. He had qualified through his death to reveal his love. Now it's your turn. Life died to prove he loves you, and that there must be something within your heart, listen to me very carefully, that demonstrates your sacrifice. And that in showing that sacrifice, the Bible says, is akin to entering a covenant with God. And you know how powerful covenants are. A covenant is an agreement between two or more people, ratified usually by blood, that is meant to provide mutual benefits. And in most cases, there are consequences when the terms of the covenant is or are violated. Are we together? So a covenant has to do with an agreement. And the Bible says, every time you sacrifice something for me, it's like you are entering an agreement with me. There must be something from my end that will come to you. We live in a time and an age where pain, stress, and any kind of inconvenience is frowned at by our generation. Our context of love is only pegged at pleasure and at best alongside passion. The language of sacrifice, the language of pain, the language of constraint is a language that the average believer in today's world will not easily want to receive. Unfortunately, that is the apex of God's definition of love. That love is not just passion. That love is not just commitment. That love is not just pleasure. But there is a component of sacrifice. There is a way that you can lay down your all. Listen to me very carefully. For the sake of His majesty and for the sake of His kingdom. And the Bible says, by your act of death through sacrifice, you enter a covenant with God that becomes the basis for the supply of His power, His grace, His lifting over your life. That is the reason why you can find two believers. Same Jesus died for them. Listen carefully. Same blood was shed for them. Yet their possibilities in this kingdom are east and west apart. Because one, through sacrifice, has compelled a dimension of God. God has vowed Himself that every time you make any sacrifice as proof of love, I am committed to showing you something I may not show everyone. Abraham, take now thy son, thy only son whom thou lovest. It took 25 years for the arrival of this boy. And now Abraham is mandated by God. Take your future. Take your joy. Take the symbol, the apex of your success and fulfillment. Take it to a mountain and kill it. The Bible says Abraham rose up early in the morning. Did you know what that would cost Abraham? Did you know it could cost Sarah leaving him? It could cost the entire community. Say, no, God cannot ask you to kill your child. And Abraham carries Isaac. Watch this. He's on his way to the mount that God will show him. You can imagine Isaac crying and saying, Father, where are we going? And the father says, let's go. Knowing he's going to kill his son. And then he binds Isaac and puts Isaac upon an altar. Are we still together now? And then the Bible says he lifted the knife. Imagine Isaac crying and saying, Father, did I offend you? What wrong did I do that would get to a level where you want to slaughter me? I imagine Abraham telling him, son, I love you, but before you got here, there was one that I was in love with, and not even you can come in between us. And God was watching. Here was a man about to pass the love test at its apex. So Abraham, you will do this. I thought you were joking. I was waiting for you to get too emotional that you said, God, I'm not doing this again. And Abraham lifts the knife. The Bible already tells us in the book of Romans that Abraham was planning to kill Isaac and beg God to bring him back to life. When he lifted that knife with tears in his eyes, and he said, Lord, for your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold, will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my king. I want to be where you are, gotta be where you are. I want to be where you are, I gotta be where. It takes more than a prayer warrior to sing this song. It takes more than a Bible study giant to sing this song. It takes more than a worker in church to sing this song. It takes one who is truly a lover of God. And Abraham lifts that knife, and the angels are watching. And the father is watching a man on earth who is doing something only God can do. Abraham, where did you get the strength? You are killing your future. Jesus was watching what he was about to do. A man on earth takes his son with his own knife, his own rope, to kill him, not because of hatred, to prove that son, not even you can take his place. Son, I love you. You are heir to my inheritance. You are the one who took shame away from me. My wife was barren. I became an object of mockery for more than 25 years. And you came. Thank you for coming. But relative to one who I was in love with before your arrival, even if it would mean you going, I'm sorry, but I love him that much. When he lifted the knife, was about to bring it down, there was a shout from heaven. Stop, Abraham, for now I know. Not when you left your house, not when you got to the base of the mountain. Now, by sacrifice, Kabakatoshia, now I know that thou, listen, a covenant was enacted immediately, and he said, I swear, Makalo Kashobra Hasataya. Abraham didn't say, God, you have done your own, I've done my own, now you must do. It's a covenant. You don't have to tell God to do anything. Once that sacrifice is done, there must be something that must leave heaven and come. He said, I swear that in blessing, I will bless you. In multiplying, I will multiply you. Now Jesus shows up many years later, and the Jews move around and claim they were sons of Abraham. He says, no, if you are the children of Abraham, indeed you will do the works of Abraham. The works of Abraham is the sacrifice, even unto death. Listen, from then till now until tomorrow, the way to the throne is the cross. The way to the throne will always be the cross. There is no man who sits on the throne of life and destiny and does not pass through that door called the cross. Every great man will tell you, as we say in our society, that behind every glory there is a story. Unfortunately, that story is not a story of laughter. That story is not a story of applause. That story is not a story of celebration. Many times it's a story of loneliness. It's a story of tears. Some of you, in a few months, will be graduates. When you write your final exam and you smile, some of you will not laugh. You will be surprised to find yourself crying. Do you know why? Because you think of that cross that you paid your school fees by yourself. You remember that in 200 level you were about to relinquish school, but a brother in church just encouraged you and said, God can make it. And now I'm standing with my certificate. Lord, so you are this faithful. Sacrifice is the language of champions. Sacrifice is the language of great men. Listen to me, dear people of God. We love the anointing so much. We love the power and the presence of God. When you see a man of God operating in very superior dimensions of the spirit, we admire the results. We admire the miracles, the signs, the wonders. When I came into your campus, I saw people holding little placards just celebrating me, and I was just nodding my head while I was seeing everything. I said, oh dear, I love you. But you see, that thing is a testament of tears, a testament of pain, a testament of sacrifice. That's the reason why when you talk over people who have paid that price, even if it's in the secret, God will punish you openly, because their sacrifice is a covenant. He suffered no man to do them wrong. Those are the them. He reproved kings for their sake. There are men that it looks like God owes them his presence. They call on him and with speed he comes. And yet you are shouting, reading the same Bible, and you are saying God is not fair. God says it's fair. The way to the throne is the cross. The price for his power and his glory is not just prayer. It's not just Bible study. The price is death. You may not like the message tonight, but bless you. Many years from now, you will look for me and say, thank you, sir. While I sat in the crowd listening to you preaching at Lasso, I didn't know that one day I'm going to be an evangelist, a prophet, an apostle. I've been looking for the key to the power of God, the grace of God. What is this mystery behind the sudden lifting of men that God gives them a voice that every territory must hear? The price, the non-negotiable, non-replaceable price is sacrifice. Non-negotiable, non-replaceable. Unfortunately, that price cannot be corporately paid. It's an individual affair. For your glory, I will do anything just to see you, to behold you as my King. I want to be where you are. I gotta be where you are. I want to be where you are. I gotta be where. You can get to a dimension in your life. Listen, brothers and sisters. Where before you pray over an issue, the answer follows you with speed coming, because your sacrifice speaks even when you are sleeping. It's a language in the spirit. When Abel offered a worthy sacrifice, the sacrifice had a voice. It spoke to God. When Cain offered a sacrifice that was not worthy, he did not receive what would come. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, you can have all kinds of dreams about a great life and destiny. It will never come to pass until you are willing to pay that price, the covenant with your destiny of sacrifice. We have this very funny idea sometimes, and we may be well-meaning doing so, but it's still wrong, that life will just evolve itself to favor you just by default. No. There is a non-negotiable price. Call any name you admire on earth, and there is a story behind that crown you see. Call any name, the overseers of your various ministries and fellowships, the great leaders, the dear father here, the chaplain, and any other man and woman of God that you admire and respect within Lagos and around this area. And they will sit you down, not to a cup of coffee. They will sit down and shed tears as they recount to you times when they were in the cave of Adullam. They knew they would get to the throne, but they knew there was a relationship between Adullam and the throne. You can miss a course and read quickly and pass the exam, but life will never allow you miss even one lecture. If you miss it, the part you miss will show in your destiny. Everyone will know you didn't attend lecture. Character 202, you missed that lecture. It becomes clear. You have anointing, but they know that lecture, you missed it. So God will demand. And the lectures in life is funny. You can finish one spiritual course in 2 weeks, and then the second course will take you 6 years. It's not the way you do your course. Show me a man that is willing to pay any price to know God, to love God, and to be great in life. I don't care what barrier that stands before him. I show you a man that will defy anything and become the voice of God to his generation. I made up my mind years ago. Listen very carefully. It was a vow that I made with my destiny that pain will never stop me. I had seen where God would take me. You know, I say it humorously every time I minister within this region. I love the Yoruba people, especially because of one thing. They are very supportive and very cohesive. The family life and the culture here creates a very strong support system for someone. It may not be as strong as that where I come from. People just bless you and leave you to the God that sent you. Are we together? So I know what it means when you are surrounded by all kinds of negative situations. For some of you here, you came from a family where you are the first person to dare lift your head, and you are about to give up because the sacrifice price you are not willing to pay. There are all kinds of young people who are unwilling to pay the price that your destiny demands. Listen, when you enter a store or a mall, everything there is for the taking, but it is the amount you have that determines what you can get. You can enter a store and come up with something worth 100 naira alone, not because the store refused to give you. That's the only thing that you could enter with. Life is like that. Greatness is there for the taking. The miracle working power of God is there for the taking. The grace for signs and wonders, territorial dominion, is there for the taking. Access to insight and revelation is there for the taking. But there is a price. You don't just walk into it and say, Lord, give me Benny Hinn's anointing. Lord, I feel like having Reinhard Bonnke's anointing. You don't feel like. Your price determines what comes to you. There is a price. We're soon going to pray tonight. A gentleman shared a story. I don't know if it's a fiction or reality, but I believe it's a fiction that was just connotating something. Listen, that once upon a time, a man on earth felt that God was not fair to him, and he felt he was carrying so much load. God had spoken great things concerning his destiny, and he felt God was unfair to him. And one time he prayed and said, God, you must talk to me. Why is my life this way? And then in the discussion, now that he was caught up to the realm of the spirit, and then he saw different sizes of crosses that were a representation of the burden that was upon men. And the Lord asked him, he said, all right, go and pick one. And he went and picked the smallest and was happy. And God told him, but that's exactly what you just dropped again. That's what I gave you that you are complaining about. And the man looked and said, so you mean there are people carrying this one on earth? Listen, signs and wonders don't just happen. God does not just give a man a name. I know that many of you have heard about me and what the Lord is doing. And it's amazing how many people just believe that they are just lucky. God just decided to use them. No. There's no luck in it. Every time you see any man you admire, look well, you will see blood dripping from him. A testament of sacrifice. It is that blood and that sky in the spirit that causes principalities and powers to give way. He said, let no man trouble me. I'm not an illegitimate person. I bear in my body a mark. There is a mark that is a testament of passing through. You can't get to the throne and where are the nails? Where are the signs? It's amazing that what looks like a symbol of shame today will be your symbol of honor. That which brings you shame today. The nails that represented shame. Today when you go to heaven, you search and you see those nails. A symbol of majesty and triumph. I came tonight to challenge and inspire someone. That is not a lie, all the visions and the dreams you have seen. But could it be that the way you are going about it, you may never get there? There is a time when you will have to sacrifice convenience It's not a popular communication, but let me tell you this. There were times in my life, you've heard me say it for those of you who have listened to my teachings, many years ago, that I could not afford a nice healthy meal to eat. I would buy bread and open it and put groundnut inside and cover it and buy ginger and take it. But I knew it was a matter of time. While I took it, shakabakatokata, a day will come, the nations will hear me, oh God. A day will come. I may not have anything now, but this one thing I have, I will guard with my life. And I could hear God saying, wise son, pass through it. And when that fire refines you, when you stand before everyone, they will know that his hand is upon your life. Many years ago, I was in a Reinhard Bonnke crusade like this, just like the crowd. And that dear man was preaching, and I stood there and I was watching. I said, oh God, so you can use a man like this. I said, one day I know that I will stand. But I vowed a vow that whether my prayers were answered or not, that no matter what it would cost me, through the fastings and the prayer, through the supposed closed heavens, Lord, where are you? And it looks like the heavens are closed. But I knew it's a price that is worth it. Today, you have benefited from that sacrifice. The same way generation is waiting for your own sacrifice too, as the basis. There are some of you here, without your manifesting destiny, there are millions that will die. You have seen it in your dreams. You have seen it. You know. Gather unto me my saints in Lasso. They that tonight will be willing to make a covenant with me. Not by preaching. Not by singing. By sacrifice. Let the language of sacrifice never scare you. The sacrifice of your time. The sacrifice of your attention. The sacrifice of pleasure. Listen. The ability to delay gratification for the sake of the destiny that awaits you. If you wear the cloth you should wear tomorrow, today you will walk naked tomorrow. If you eat the food that you should eat tomorrow, today you will be hungry tomorrow. I rather pay the price. You may laugh at me because I cannot afford a good shoe, but there is an anointing on my life and I will walk it. I may not have the money to eat. I may be fasting. I may be praying and crying through the night. I may be in class. But when he's done with my life, he will present me like a trophy to a generation. That's what God is telling someone. Never let pain and shame embarrass you. Only ignorant people laugh at you when they see you going through the seasons of pain. Be proud of the 5 naira you have. Be proud of the 1 shoe you have. Hear me, dear lady. There's no point going around to get something your level and your standard has not gotten. Why fake what can be real? Be patient with God and pay that price. It is true that life died, but only for 3 days. It is true that truth died, but only for 3 days. We don't die forever. We only pass through. That death is a gate to an untold realm of power. There are some of you here, the hand of God is upon your life. Every kind of spiritual investment is there, and you are itching to manifest. You are itching to preach. You are itching to hold a program, and God says, be silent. Don't rush. The ministry I have for you, you will preach and be tired. You just wait and pray. Keep cleaning the chair as an usher. I know there is an apostolic grace. You don't need to fight to prove it. It is there. When the grace comes upon you, there is a season called the season of appearing. Many years ago, I served a great man of God, the team that went to preach to Obasanjo, the ex-president, when he was in prison. I served one of those men. It was a whole sacrifice. Nobody ever told me thank you for any reason. The only thing I ever got was one cassette and one bottle of Fanta. That was all I ever got. But I served with my life with joy. I would trek from home and carry my own keyboard on my head and walk a far distance. And God was watching. And God was watching. Listen, there is a God that supervises your sacrifice. So men may not see it, but my brothers and my sisters, you may not look like it. One day you will collide with a dimension of power and fire that they will say, when did Saul become a prophet? When did this happen? Didn't we get admission together in Lasso? You that I got you born again. I remember when you were roaming around. What has happened to you? And you tell them the covenant of sacrifice. I made a vow that the powers that destroyed my loved ones, that I will arise like those carpenters that will judge the horn. And I made up my mind that I will pray. You may be praying every night in the spirit. You may be diligent, sitting in class with no food, but you are studying and praying. And sometimes you want to sleep and the Holy Ghost says, pray, pray for 1 hour. I say, Lord, why are you hard on me like this? And God says, because the people I'm sending you to require a level of power and fire. I'm training you so that you don't just graduate with a certificate alone. You graduate with a mantle, with a mandate, with fire upon your head. Not many people may be willing to sacrifice, but let me speak to someone. I can't guarantee that everybody under the sound of my voice is willing to pay the price for the anointing, for the grace, the relevance, and the influence it takes. But let me encourage you. Just when you think you are the only one, there are 7,000 others hiding just like you.
Though we are few,
listen,
we are surrounded by many who have crossed that river before.
I'll sing it again.
That though we are few, we are surrounded by many who have crossed that river before.
You may not be much who are interested in God. You know, there are many people, the moment you get unusually serious, they say, Pastor, they have made it look like you are supposed to be lukewarm about God. I mean, it's antisocial to be too spiritual. It's antisocial to have fire. Just be there so that at least... No, sir. The generation God is raising is a generation of strange fire, a generation of power and intelligence.
The gates of hell is not training mediocres. There are men selling their soul to the devil with a covenant and a fraternity to destroy our lives, our homes, and our generation. And God is raising men, the saviors that shall arise. But my brothers and my sisters, it is not just a call to glory first. It is first the sufferings of Christ and then the glory that follows. That's the formula. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that follows. Serving him and becoming great, it will cost you your time. It will cost you your resources. Are we together? You want to enter a relationship like every other lady, and God will say, do you not know that the spirit of Deborah is upon you? No, for you it will not be the way it is for every other lady, because that which will come from you is a prophet. That there is a prophet that your womb will produce, and for that sake you can't go the way the rest are going.
As a student, I never had the opportunity to enjoy my scholarship once. I was on many scholarships. All my scholarships were used either for crusades or for something. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm just telling you that it was a lot of sacrifice. Never bought a phone, never bought a shoe, never bought anything. as a student, God mandated me to be paying the school fees of other people. Sometimes I would spend as much as half a million naira paying the school fees of students back then. Lord, wouldn't I enjoy my own life too? Am I not a human being? When I work hard for something, should I not enjoy it? And he says, son, the choice is yours. You can decide to be selfish and live a mediocre life like every other person, or you can decide to donate and hand over yourself and let me show you what I make with men who can die for me. And I made, oh, thank God I was stupid enough to choose, to make the choice of Abraham, to say, Lord, I may not have much, but this that I have, take it. I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours forever. I'm yours, I'm yours, I'm yours. My life is yours, it's yours, it's yours forever. It's yours, it's yours, it's yours. Here's the part of the song I want you to hear. Whatever you ask of me, I surrender. Very powerful song, because it will make a demand for sure. Whatever you ask of me, I surrender. Whatever you ask of me, whatever you ask of me, I surrender. Hallelujah. Listen, brothers and sisters, standing in this place tonight are men and women who the spirit of revival and the spirit that will shake Lagos and will cause men to see the excellency of heaven once again. Some of you standing looking at me represent that rejected stone that has been rejected either by your family background and so on and so forth. But I tell you one thing, when death walks in you, life again will rise in you. And you will find out that the same grave where death happens is also where resurrection starts. Truth may die, but not forever. Your ego may die for now, but not forever. You may sacrifice your time, the pleasure, for now, but not forever. There is a price for a great destiny. There is a price for a great life. The question that the Lord is asking you tonight as we pray is, are you willing? The mother of James and John comes to Jesus and says, would you grant that when all is said and done, paraphrasing, that my sons will sit at your left and right? Jesus never said the position is not vacant. He said, here is the condition. Can you drink of my cup and be baptized? When you drink of the cup, it's a sacrifice that is internal. And then the baptism is a sacrifice that is external. Both dimensions must happen to you. That is the price it takes to sit close to God. That is the price it takes to lean your head upon his chest. You will not just tell a sick man, be healed, and he will be healed. You will not just tell a blind man, eyes open, just because you read it in the Bible. No. There is more than the lines that your eye reads. Your sacrifice can clean the Bible again and you will see clearer and see that it's more than just what you have read. There are people, because of your sacrifice for God on campus, he will vow that you will never build any house with your own money. And say, what the sacrifice for your future, you have paid it now as a student. In your prayer, in everything you are doing. And God will say, no, you have paid that price. You will not pay the price twice. Today I look at my life and I am blessed and honored by what he has done. For every testimony you hear and for everything that he has done by his grace and majesty. It is his grace and it is true. But I'll be lying to tell you it just happened. I know how it happened. Behind the scene is a life of tears, a life of pain, a life of sacrifice, a life of fasting, a life of character, a life of discipline, a life of dedication, a life of genuine holiness, a life of a covenant of surrender to serve God forever. More than fame, more than money, more than rhema, more than miracles, more than power. When you get to that position, you are ready to see the hand of God in unusual ways. Lasso, hear me. I came to blow a shofar. I came to sound an alarm that the time has come. There has to be a people that God will find within this conference. There has to be someone. It may not be everybody, and it has nothing to do with being a man of God, but there may be someone listening, and the Spirit of God is telling you, that's the voice you heard in your dream, that's the voice you heard in your vision, preparing you and telling you, a time will come when I will lift you and present you like a trophy. That what your father could not do, what your mother could not do, if you hand over your life and yourself to me, I can turn you into a sign and a wonder. Apostle, but I've lived my life anyhow. I've done everything I know to do that is wrong. Can I start? Oh, when you come to him, you come afresh. My brothers and my sisters, listen to me. There is nothing you can do that can stop God from receiving you for as long as you are willing to start afresh. The next apostles, the next prophets, the next God's generals, the next Smith Wigglesworth, Catherine Kuhlmans, the next Papa Adeboyes, Bishop Oyedekos, and all the men and women, listen, make sure you don't fail your generation. A battle will soon be passed, and make sure your hands are free to collect. It takes stamina to collect it. I want you to be sensitive now, because your life will never be the same. Who is like him? Mountains bow down, every ocean roar to the Lord of Lords. That's the God you can make a covenant with by sacrifice. Who is like you? The Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roar to the Lord of Lords. With your life, you will praise Adonai. From the rising of the sun to the end of every day, praise Adonai. All the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, listen, there must come a time in the life of every man whereby the law of times and seasons, God gives you an opportunity to donate your life. This is more than an altar call where you say, Lord, I was told that before I was born, there was a prophecy that a Deborah is coming, that an Elijah is coming. Lord, if I'm that person, then whatever price it would take to carry that mantle, to carry that grace, I'm willing to pass through it. The price of discipline and diligence and dedication. That price. Oh, there is a price.
There is a price.
Gather unto me my saints. It will cost you your time. It will cost you spiritual discipline. It will cost you circumcision from carnality and flesh. Don't say it does not matter. It will cost you your ego and your reputation. Hallelujah. Listen. Listen. I'm going to do an altar call right now and then we'll pray. Because I see fire that is going to fall in this place. Someone must carry something tonight. But you are here. I don't need to cajole you. You are saying, Apostle, I'm tired of lying. This is a moment of destiny. I want you to run like there's fire on the mountain and come and stand before God. Lord, I'm handing my life. I'm tired of pretending. There's no faking it. I'm not ashamed. You don't have to lie on the dust. You just come and you can stand. Cry your heart to your maker tonight.
Lord, this is a moment of destiny. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome. You overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome, you overcome. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. You wear the victor's crown. You overcome, you will overcome.
The Bible says, seeing then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth easily beset us, looking up to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame. Endured the cross and despised the shame.
Revival falls upon your campus. An awakening, a God consciousness. Please pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Some of you are crying. Don't be ashamed of your tears. This is a night. Just help those under the anointing. Now listen to me. I don't care whether you are a pastor, apostle, prophet, church leader. No. When it comes to the matter of destiny, your heart must be open. For those of you who are kneeling in front here, I want to lead you to a genuine prayer of salvation. Genuine. Genuine, honest, sincere, conscious prayer. Not a poem that you repeat after. A genuine call that forever you will know that at last you crusade that Jesus Christ gave me a visitation. I like those of you in front here. If you are still joining them, I want you to join them quickly. But I want those of you in front here, pray and say it loud. Let it be clear. Let it be sincere. Say, Lord Jesus,
Say it again with all your heart. Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your word, and I declare that I'm not only passionate about you, I'm not only committed up towards you, I'm not only pleasurable towards you, but I'm willing to lay down everything. And tonight I hand over my heart, I hand over my life to you. I declare from today and forever, Jesus is Savior and Lord and Master and owner of my life. From today, I make this destiny decision that forever I belong to Him. I will serve you. I will live for you. I will teach my children your ways. Amen. I stretch my hands towards you. I'm praying. Jesus, I present to you the ones you died for. When you hung upon that cross, you saw them and they were worth your death. I present them as trophies. And I declare that the grace and the power that keeps men in this kingdom, let it be granted unto them. In the name of Jesus, by the authority of the scriptures, I declare your sins forgiven. And I decree and I declare, even by the power of the Holy Ghost, that beginning from tonight is a new day for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I want you to do something quickly. Now, this is what I want you to do, because I want to pray now. Please, I want to pray. I just want us to be patient a few minutes and we're done. Are we together? Now, the counselors are going to pass a slip. Am I correct? The counselors will pass a slip to you. Make sure that you get the slip. And when you get the slip, please, I want you to return back to your seat. Please complete the slip and hand it over to any of the counselors immediately after service. Are we together? Is that fine? Are we together? Please do it very fast, because I want to pray now. Make sure you collect the slips. I want to pray. Something is about to happen to your destiny now.
There's an army rising up. You're that army rising up. There's an army rising up. Yeah. They will break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Listen, I still have a session with you tomorrow, and by the grace of God, I'll minister a little bit today, just a few minutes, so that we'll respect our time and you go. But I want you to come tomorrow with your heart open, because what God will do in this place tomorrow is something that I believe will last you for a lifetime. But I want to pray now. Give me a few minutes and then we're done. There is a fire that I see. There is a grace that I see. Tonight, just a few things and then we are done. And I want to pray. Now, I don't know how we'll do it. The ground is muddy. And if at all you bring anyone out, please just be careful so you don't put them there. Now, please be your brother's keeper. Whether you're an usher or not, anyone under the anointing close to you, please help to manage them so they don't injure themselves. Are you ready? I want to pray for you. I see a grace for encounters. Many of you do not know an encounter is an experience that makes God real. And I came with that grace and that anointing. I want to pray it now. I stretch my hands at the count of three, right to the back, from the front to the back, the left to the right. That grace and that fire will find men, and God will shift you to strange seasons. Right now, one, two, at the count of three, shout Jesus. Three, take that grace now. Receive that fire now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the grace for encounters. I release that grace. I release that anointing. A new dimension. I plant that fire. That fire right to the back. Right to the back. An outpouring of that grace. Lord, let the sons and daughters carry the grace to know you. The grace to love you. I release that fire. Let that fire come upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Help them. Please help that brother. Hold him. Hold him. Pray. I release that grace right now. A hunger for God. A passion for the things of God. Every lukewarmness. Shakata bakata. At the count of three, I want you to shout Jesus, and a fresh fire is coming on your spiritual life. One, two, three, shout Jesus. Fresh fire. Fresh fire. May that fire come upon you. Every carnality, every flesh. I come against it in the name of Jesus. The grace that causes men to love God. We are still praying. Lift your hands, everyone. I'm seeing the spirit of prayer and supplication. And I'm seeing the number 55. 55 people. That grace is coming on them now. From the choir, right to the back, right to the overflow there. Receive that grace right now. Receive that fire upon your prayer life. From tonight, a fire burning upon your altar. A fire burning upon your altar. We give glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, there are many of you, because of this fire tonight, there are phone numbers you will delete after this service. There are relationships that you will lovingly cut away from, because that grace to love God, that grace to walk in genuine holiness and love, that grace and that passion for God is coming upon you. Samakato shalaka prahasedekos karendos kamahasapras ketekotoshila katabaria bakatos. Two more prayer points and I'm done for tonight. I may not have time to pray for the sick and speak over you. We'll do that tomorrow. Please don't miss this meeting tomorrow. But in the name of Jesus, I'm praying. The Lord is speaking to me. And the Lord is saying there are people here. You are the ones anointed to bring your family out of shame. Listen to me. And the Lord is saying that anointing for your destiny is coming upon you now. Lord, where are they? In the name of Jesus Christ, I stretch my hands. Where are they? The saviors that must arise from Zion. I release upon you the anointing. Help them so they don't enjoy themselves, please. In the name of Jesus, everywhere across this crusade ground, ordained to take away shame like Gideon from your family, may that grace find you right now. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever. situation. Listen, I want to pray a very serious prayer now, and then we're done for tonight. The Lord just opened my eyes and I saw several chains. Several chains. I want to pray for people now. Please listen. Whether you are an usher or not, this prayer I'm going to pray is a serious one, because there are many of you, there are powers that are tying down your life and destiny. You love God, but you don't know why. What is it that is keeping you? It's about to give way right now. At the count of three, hear me. When I count three, I want you to shout Jesus with all your heart. And some of you, a fire, a mighty deliverance fire of God will come upon you. I speak to the realm of the spirit, and I decree and declare over the destinies of these precious people. Lord, there are men and women whose lives are under the yoke and the captivity of darkness that must give way tonight. As you shout that shout, Tehillah, may the heavens be open and any strange spirit at work in anyone go. Are you ready now? 1, 2, 3. I command every power, every spirit, let God's people go now. Every yoke, every enchantment, shakatokatabakata. I command principalities and powers and covenants and ordinances. Help that lady, please. Hold that lady. Don't look at her. I decree and declare that fire comes upon you now, releasing you to experience the fullness of the power and the glory of God. Every legal access that the devil has over your life by the mystery of the blood, I decree your liberty now. Hallelujah. Tonight I stand here by the privilege of God's grace. Lord, we open a spiritual portal tonight over this campus. Let there be massive angelic activities tonight. In your hostels, your homes, your faculties, let the Spirit of God move in a mighty way, correcting things that need to be corrected. In the name of Jesus Christ. Some of you will lie down tonight, and the visions of your destiny will open up to you like a book. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let there be revelations. All kinds of visions and revelations. All kinds of manifestations of the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Tomorrow, by the grace of God, I will be praying for the sick. And then I will be sharing with you my encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are going to trust God for a release of mantles here. I know that there are men and women. Your campus must catch fire in a way and manner that brings Him glory. The Lord bless you and see you tomorrow.